If you love the Lord, give Him some praise. Give Him some praise. Give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. I'm not going out like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Perhaps few statements are more true than the following. There's no place on this earth that has more dreams, broken promises, shattered visions than the graveyard. The graveyard is generally reserved for people who have finished their course. They have fulfilled what God has called them to do. They satisfy their purpose. That's what it's supposed to be for. Yet today, I'm afraid that the graveyard is this place where so many people started off on the right track, having a desire to be a lawyer and a doctor and an accountant and a public servant and all these wonderful things that they desired, but all of that fell short. And the truth of the matter is, what shatters our visions and our dreams is not another person. What shatters our dreams is our lack of faith. For the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of that stuff that we can't see. In order for us to please God, we must have faith. Amen. When you begin to walk in your calling, expect people to dislike you.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and everything in your life is going well, I have nothing to say to you today. I want to talk to people like me that are struggling. I'm talking about you saved, you sanctified, you believe in the Lord, but you're still going through something. I want to talk to you this morning that don't understand, God, if I'm pressing into you, why does it seem like you're walking away from me? I want to talk to somebody that the devil is knocking on your door, your house, and you don't understand. God, we are praying house. Why are you allowing this to happen here, God? See, because we say that the moment that you give your life to Christ, oh, everything is all right. God will work out everything and you will never have any troubles. Now, that's just not the truth. The truth of the matter is God will forever deliver you. But baby, you going through something as a child of God. Your test will come. Your faith will be tested. If you're a child of God, you will find yourself sometimes in the valley all alone. If you're a child of God, you'll find yourself sometimes no friends at all. If you're a child of God, you'll find all types of attacks in your life. And you'll begin to wonder, Lord, what's wrong with me? And His reply is nothing. You are exactly where I want you to be. You mean in this set of troubles? Yes, because these troubles is His troubles. That's why He says, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares about you. So everything you go through in life helps shape you, help mold you. It helps to give you swag. Now, young people talk about swag, and what they talk about is the way that you carry yourself. Not necessarily the way that you walk, but the way that you carry yourself. That's your swag. See, it takes permits God to allow us to go through the valleys, through the fire, in order to purge us, to burn some stuff off of us. And so everything that you've gone through in life help determines or help makes you the person that you are today. So you need to be careful when you say, I hate going through that thing, because it's that thing that made you who you are today. Without those troubles of yesterday, you would not be as strong as you are today. That's why you need to begin to thank God for the haters in your life. That's why you need to thank God for the troubles in your life. That's why you need to thank God for the stuff that you've been through in your life. Because when Satan thought that he was killing you, God is saying, I'm going to take that thing and I'm going to make that thing good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And God is saying, you love me, I'm going to allow you to go through something. But I never leave you. I never forsake you. You see, what God is doing is God is shaping, he's forming our walk, our swag.
That's right.
Now, Saul was a man that on the surface, Saul had everything that any person could possibly dream of. He was a king. He was anointed by God. He had the power of God on his life and the presence of God. He had people that was lining up just to serve him. And then along come a little boy named David. How can we allow someone to get us off focus? My question to you this morning is, why do you care what they think about you? What difference does it make if they don't like you? So what? I mean, they didn't like Jesus. They nailed him to the cross. Do you really think that you're a child of God and everybody is going to like you? Do you really think that everybody is going to approve of what you do? So if they don't like you, don't approve you, so what? So what? But here you are, stressed out because somebody said something about you. The heck with what they say about you. That don't stop you, that didn't make you, that doesn't shape you. God still got a plan for you. And as long as you give him some praise, God still will deliver you. And you care about what they say about you. And the truth of the matter is, you don't even like that person anyway. Now why do you care what they say? They don't like you, and you don't like them. Good. You stay over there, and I'll stay over here, and we'll be fine together. David come along. When David come along, Saul becomes concerned that the people like David more than they like him.
Come on, sir.
And so instead of him being about God's business, he turned his anointed focus to destroy somebody else. See, that's why you don't have to worry about your enemies, your haters, because they will destroy themselves. While they're chasing after you, they gonna destroy themselves. Someone said, if you dig one ditch, you better dig another. See, so when they come after you, come on after me. But God says, I got my hands all around you. God got you protected in the front, and the side, and the back. Over your head, out of your feet. No weapon formed against you, baby. Now, prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And so here is Saul. Saul has it all. David comes, and the swag that Saul once had, the way that he carried himself, the way that he walked, the way that he struck, everything about him that used to line up with God, now he is losing all of that because his focus is on David. See, God says, but seek ye first the kingdom. He says, you do my will. Don't worry about them. You just do what I called you to do. And so now Saul has lost his focus. I wonder if I asked you that question this morning. What would your answer be? Have you lost your focus this morning? Are you still about God's business? Are you so busy trying to get somebody back? I don't need to get you back because this battle is not mine. This battle is the Lord. I don't need to get you back because you really didn't do anything to me in the beginning. So I need to give God some praise because you thought you were stopping me. But God says, I'll let your enemy, your footstool. And so here's Saul. Here's Saul. Saul is losing his swag. He's losing his swag. S-W-A-G swag. Listen, point number one this morning. When Satan comes against you, the first thing he'll always attack is your spirit man.
Yes.
Satan cannot defeat you. But if he attacks your spirit, he makes you defeat yourself.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I got enough stuff against me. I'm not willing to help my enemies. So if anybody needs to be on my side, I need to be on my side. You can pray for me, but if I'm doing crazy, your prayers don't really work for me because I like my situation. That's why you can't get someone out of debt in your family because they like it, because they always get loan or borrow money from you. Until that person changes, you can't change them. So God has to change our mentality. He has to change the way that we see. Somebody saying this morning about breaking some chains. Listen, God says you are free, but we refuse to step through that door because Satan has intimidated us for so long that we are afraid if we break the circle, the comfort zone, then I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? I'd rather be uncomfortable in the presence of God than to be in the same circle and comfortable with no good folks. I want to be set free. I want what God has. Your spirit man will always be attacked first. Now once Satan attacked your spirit man, then he will always come after the word that is inside of you. When he comes for the word, if he can get you to doubt God, God can't do that. Oh no, that's impossible. That's too hard. What? Your family, your child coming home? No, that is difficult. Turn your husband, your spouse around? That's impossible. So he wants to attack the word, the promise of God that you said. No. See, if he can make you doubt God,
yes, sir.
Then he got you.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't trust God, then who do you trust? See, if you can't serve God, and now, so you got to choose one or the other. And so if you say God can't do it, then you're saying that Satan has more power than God. Don't you ever, ever, ever doubt God. God is not your situation. God is not your circumstance. God is God. I don't care if it's raining in your life or if the sun is shining in your life. God is God. I don't care if it looks impossible to you. There's nothing impossible with the God that you serve. And if you believe that and you begin to praise God in your mess, watch God allow the praise to pull you out of your mess. If you need to come out of your life, give God some praise. When nothing is going right, give him some praise. When you don't know how, you got to come through. Give him some praise. When everybody is against you, give him some praise. That's when his grace about you. When he attacks the word and you allow him to make you doubt God, then God then has to remove the anointing from your life. Now, I want to make sure that we're clear on this.
Come on, sir.
Just because you are saved and your salvation is sealed doesn't mean your blessing is sealed. You can be a child of God sitting in church every day getting greased up by all, everybody laying hands on you, and you still have no power. The anointing of God is the power of God. It's the power that breaks yokes. It's the power that destroys the enemy. It's the power that delivers you. You need that anointed power. Saul lost his anointing. And when Saul lost his anointing, he was lost and he had no guide. See, it is the Holy Spirit that comforts and guides us. It's the Holy Spirit that points out your North Star. Your North Star is when everything else is in doubt, you know exactly what God said to you. See, when you discover your purpose on this earth, I don't care if you broke, I still got a purpose. I don't care if I'm sick, I still got a purpose. I don't care if I got cancer, I still got a purpose. I don't care if I have an addiction, I still got a purpose. And if I hold on to my purpose, my purpose will break all of that. That's why when somebody begins to go through something, don't you walk away from them. You grab hold and you pray for them. Because the Bible declares that two or three is gathered together in His name. He says, I'm in the midst of it. You want God to show up in your situation? Find someone and touch and agree with
them.
The Bible declares, it says, now for Saul, the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit that began to battle, come against Saul. And the truth of the matter is, I can live with you walking out of my life. I have no problem with that. But if God ever lift His hands off me, like He lift His hands off Saul, well, we're in trouble. So just because you walked out, don't you think you're going to stop nothing? Not in the life of a child of God. Just because they were crazy enough to leave that blessing, don't you think you're going to stop nothing? Because God says you may walk out, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Saul found himself. And God lifted his hands off Saul. And when God lifts his hands off you, listen, you'll do anything. If there's no Holy Spirit inside of you, there's no limits to what you can do. You're concerned about juvenile crime. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, a child today will shoot you and think nothing about it. And you don't even have to do anything to it. They can be 5 years old and they're crazy enough to go into school. But don't you know God says, touch not my little children. See, we got to deal with that thing. So the Bible says you got to train up your child the way that he should go. When he gets old, he may depart, but he'll find Jesus again. He'll find God again. Because the truth of the matter, God has not left the United States of America. We are walking away from God until we humble ourselves, pray and turn from our wicked ways. We want to see the power of God. If you want to see the power of God, you got to come back to God. You got to return to God. It's so sorry. Saul finds himself. He's in a place where he has the title and the position, but he doesn't have the power. It's nothing worse than dealing with a big little person. A big little person is someone is in a position that they can't handle. They're in a position where they always have to tell you their title to make you do what you need to do. When you earn it, you don't even have to put on the uniform. When you earn it, they see the anointing on your life. You don't even have to be in church. They still see God resting in your life. You don't even have to open your mouth. And they still know that it's something about you. I don't know what it is, but it's something about you. You must be a child of God. Because you are able to open doors and break down. There's something about you. And so Saul finds himself without God.
Oh my God.
Saul says, my enemies are coming against me. Sometimes who you think your enemies are really is not your enemies. Sometimes who you think your friends are is really your enemies. You watching the wrong person. You watching them. And you trusting her. And she's stabbing you. And you trying to figure out what's going on. How do you fight when the enemy is in your own house? When you tell your spouse your dream and they tell you that'll never happen, how do you fight when you have to sleep with the devil every night? How do you fight when you tell someone what God is telling you and they tell you what you did from yesterday? How do you fight when the enemy is from within? I'm just asking. When I got my eye on my enemy, and my friend is tearing me up, how do you fight that thing? Because you have to be gentle. Because you can't destroy what's in your own house. But you can't allow it to keep punching you. See, when you pray and you ask God for a spirit of discernment, God teach you how to roll like a rock, how to miss that ball, how to miss that bullet. God teaches you. He gives you a route of escape. Saul says, my enemies are coming. If they catch me, he says, they're just going to just violate me. So I would rather kill myself than to take a chance in the hand of my enemies. Maybe to Saul and to someone here this morning, you think that's a courageous way to die. I took my own life and I didn't give you the pleasure of doing it. But how do you know that God wasn't going to deliver you? Because how many times has he already delivered you? When you were in a corner and you saw found no way out. And somehow God took your enemy and they delivered you. When your friends gave up on you, your enemies delivered you. God will make your enemies a blessing to you because your enemy is in the palm of God's hand. And so Saul grabs a sword, and he grabs the sword, and he tells his armor bearer. Now, the purpose of an armor bearer is supposed to carry your armor.
That's right.
Okay. In biblical days, they were always going to battle. And your armor could be heavy. And so the armor bearer carried that load for the leader. But we have gotten so cute. And we put a scripture behind it. And we say, this is my weapon. And you need to carry my weapon. I don't need you to carry this word. Because that word is in there. If you ain't got no word in hell, when the devil comes, you're in trouble. Because you may not have the chance to read the Bible. But I can tell you what's on my heart. God said, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I may not know no other scripture, but I know that one. And that's good enough for God. Who's been following him, carrying his armor. On the day that he needs the armor bearer to do one thing, the thing that is most important to him, he let him down. I wonder if you have any friends that's willing to give you $5 when you got 50, but when you have no money, I'm sorry, I can't do that today. See, sometimes when you need somebody, they done bounce on you back. It's the days that you don't need them that they're offering you something. But understand, they know you don't need it. And they really don't want to give it to you. Mess around, find yourself in need. Mess around, find yourself in the hospital. And see how many of your friends come to see about you. See how many people praying for you. Mess around and let somebody hear your house is in foreclosure. See how many people will let you come live in their seven rooms that they don't use. Mess around, let your car get repossessed. And see how many people will allow you to drive their car. He says to his armor bearer, he says, grab the sword. And he says, and thrust me. And the armor bearer says, nope. Isn't that a friend? When you need him the most, he says, nope. And so this armor bearer is from the position of, I am so afraid because you are anointed. But just maybe, allow my little cynical mind to run. But maybe the armor bearer was there, you remember how you treated me? Payback time. You have to be careful how you treat people. Because the same people that you mistreat going up may be the very people you need on your way down. You gotta be careful how you deal with people, because the Bible says be careful, because you just may be entertaining an angel. And so he says, grab the sword. And he says, I want you to thrust the sword in me. And the armor bearer is sore afraid. And so Saul grabs his sword. And he falls on the sword. And he takes his own life.
All right.
I don't know about you, a lot of stuff gonna have to happen. If you ever hear that I killed myself, you just keep investigating. I promise you. I promise you. I'm not gonna hurt me. Now, I may hurt you, but I'm not gonna hurt me. And so the same in closing, the same armor bearer,
yeah, my God,
who jumped holy, and he says, "I'll touch not God's anointed," so I can't kill Saul. The moment that Saul fell on the sword, the armor bearer grabbed the sword. And likewise, the Bible says, he fell on the same sword. And he killed himself as Saul had killed himself. I want to leave you with a thought this morning. What is going on in a person's mind when they think that Saul or the leader is so anointed that they won't hurt them? But you don't value your own life. You disrespect your own self that you can so easily take your life. Saul is dead. Okay, peace out, Saul. But I'm not taking my life. I'm not going out like that.
All right, man.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It makes sense to you? Then let me pivot that thing in closing. Then why do we allow people to make us kill our dreams?
My God.
Just because their dreams were never fulfilled. It's the same difference. It's just a different sword. Just because it has not happened for you doesn't mean that I'm going to stop believing God for me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can never love a man, Saul, or whomever, more than I love me.
That's right.
Amen.
If that's Saul's choice, that's his choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him with my talent. I'm going to serve him with my time. And I'm going to serve him with my gift. Would you stand with me this morning? Sometimes what you ask God for doesn't happen right then.
That's right.
Put your hand in the hand of God. He'll make a way. He'll deliver you. That's the only way I'm going out, is believing and trusting in him. That's the only way for me. I've come too far to stop right now. Been through too much to doubt him now. He's dragged and pulled me so far. I've got to believe him now. Because if I don't believe God, what do I have? What do I have? What do you have if you don't have faith in God? I want to speak to that person here this morning. That maybe you've never tried God. You never humbled yourself and surrendered to God. If that's you, we want to open the doors of the church for you, just for you this morning, to say that if you need a church home, not sure about your salvation, try God. try God. Try God. Try, you can't fix yourself. He says, come as you are. If you're here and you need a church home, you need to surrender to God, this is your hour. God says, surrender to me. Not sure about your salvation? Or maybe you are. You simply need a church home. If that's you, we invite you to come. Living in your church home.